We were discussing Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's coming to Jagannath Puri. His first darshan of Lord Jagannath. And then the brilliant and most compassionate way in which he completely transformed the life of the great Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. Soon after that, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told his devotees that he wanted to go on a journey to South India. Nityananda Prabhu, Mukunda Dutt, Damodar Pandit, Jagadananda Pandit, they had traveled all the way with the Lord from Shantipur to Puri. So naturally they expected to go with him. But Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu insisted that he wanted to go alone. And he tasted the sweetness of the unique and special love that each of his devotees had for him through finding fault with their devotional service. Nityananda, you say you want to come to serve me? I wanted to go to Vrindavan, and you tricked me by taking me the other direction to Shantipur. I asked you to hold my danda when I was to take a bath in a river, and you broke it in 3 paces and lost it. Mukunda Dutt, as a sannyasi, it is my role to perform tapasya. When you see me sleeping on the ground or taking cold baths, you don't say anything, but you suffer so terribly. And when I see you suffer, I suffer. Jagadananda Pandit, you're always trying to give me luxurious enjoyment, oils, beds. And if I don't accept what you give me, then you become angry. Sometimes you fast. And Damodar Pandit, you are brahmachari. You say you're coming to serve me, but if I do anything that is not according to your conception of etiquette, you chastise me. I will go alone, where I could be free to follow my duties in my heart. And Srila Prabhupada and Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami tell that each of these devotees, it was the unique quality of their deep, spontaneous, ecstatic love for Lord Chaitanya that inspired them to act in those ways. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was so deeply pleased with them. But to taste the nectar of remembering the qualities of devotees, he did it in a way that externally appeared to be criticizing them. Because ultimately, the devotees only wanted what made the Lord happy. Nityananda Prabhu said, if you don't want us to come, that's all right, even though I know all the places to take you. But we have one simple brahmachari called Krishnadas. He will go with you. Because someone needs to hold your water pot and your extra set of clothes while you're chanting and your beads and counting your rounds while you're walking. So for the happiness of the devotees, Lord Chaitanya just accepted to take them. The news that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was leaving Puri came as a great shock to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. Because after being such a stalwart impersonalist for his entire life, now by the association of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he was tasting the sweetness of prema bhakti. And now it was hardly a month or so, and Lord Chaitanya is leaving. But when he saw that the Lord was, he wanted to go, he said, I want to find my brother Vishwaroop. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, wanting to please Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he said, in the past, I met a person named Ramananda Rai. Because of my own spiritual deficiency, I thought he was a sentimental person. But now that I have received your grace, I can understand that there is no greater devotee than him. His knowledge, his realization, and his ability to speak about Krishna and the rasa of Krishna is like no other. You will find great happiness in meeting him. This is a significant statement, because to even recognize a devotee, the good qualities of a devotee, requires the mercy of Krishna. It is said, by the mercy of Krishna, one gets a guru, one by the mercy of a guru, one gets Krishna. There has to be some sincerity in our heart, some agyata sukriti, or some causeless mercy by which a person can actually recognize the good qualities of a devotee. And by recognizing the good qualities of a devotee, one attracts Krishna's grace that much more. When Krishna sees that we are appreciating the words, the actions, the character of those people who are earnestly trying to surrender their lives to him, that gives him great satisfaction. One of the most profound ways of making spiritual advancement is pleasing Krishna by appreciating the qualities of Krishna's devotees. Srila Prabhupada, when he first started this mission, he saw how many faults were in his first followers. They were not following any regulative principles. They had very little conception of cleanliness, what to speak of philosophy, of spirituality. But any little effort they made to come closer to Krishna, Srila Prabhupada appreciated so deeply. And showered encouragement upon them. So if that is the way a great soul sees a person who's trying to become Krishna conscious, what is our position? The tendency to find faults in others, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, is only because we are honeycombed with so many faults ourselves. When Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya did not have the mercy of the Lord, he was critical toward Ramananda Rai. But when he received the grace of the Lord, he could understand his true greatness. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu departed on his South Indian tour. And of course, we want to discuss Jagannath Puri. At Vidyanagar, he met Sri Ramananda Rai. And for many days discussed the innermost topics of the bhakti tattva, rasa tattva, Krishna tattva, Radha tattva. And their conversation, it evolved into Ramananda Rai describing the most confidential love between Sri Sri Radha Govinda Dev. He gave such happiness to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that Lord Chaitanya told him, you are now the governor of Madras with great wealth and following. I would like you to resign and come to Puri to live with me. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then had darshan of a Hanuman Mandir and continued his South Indian tour. When he was further south toward Shrishaila, Rishab Hill, he met Paramananda Puri, who was a great disciple of Madhavendra Puri. They spent many days together speaking about Krishna. And Lord Chaitanya told him, I never want to leave your association. Come to Jagannath Puri, let us live together. Paramananda Puri gave his promise. Eventually, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu returned to Puri. While he was away, King Prataparudra, he asked Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya that I have heard from several people that you were very deeply influenced by one sannyasi. Can you tell me who this was? Can you arrange for me to meet him? Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya told King Prataparudra that he is Krishna himself. He's a sannyasi, and he doesn't easily meet kings, so that might be very difficult for me to arrange an interview. But ultimately, he's independent because he's Krishna. King Prataparudra, he was such a learned man, with such power and influence, yet just hearing once from Sarvabhauma that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Krishna, he immediately accepted it. And in his heart of heart, he surrendered his life to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. That is the power of the influence of the association of the great soul. When Lord Chaitanya returned, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya had arranged with King Prataparudra for him to stay at the house of Kashi Mishra. When Lord Chaitanya entered his house, Lord Chaitanya was so happy. Lord Chaitanya thanked him for giving him some space to live. And Kashi Mishra, from his heart, he spoke that my life belongs to you, my property belongs to you, everything is yours. Because he said it with such sincerity, within minutes of their first meeting, Lord Chaitanya revealed his forearm form of Narayan, holding the conch shell, the disc, the club, and the lotus flower to Kashi Mishra. And Kashi Mishra was actually a guru for the king. He was one of the most influential and powerful spiritual teachers for the whole of Puri. And because he took such a humble position of offering his everything, his body, mind, words, life, property, for the service of the Lord, he was given this perfection instantly. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu embraced him. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya then began to introduce Lord Chaitanya to various people from Puri who really wanted to meet him, especially the different servants of Lord Jagannath. This is the person that fetches the water for Jagannath. This is the person who makes certain flowers for Jagannath. This is the person who cooks certain preparations for Jagannath. He was giving all these introductions, and they were all bowing down to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and he would lift them and embrace them. Servants of his beloved Lord. Bhavananda Rai, Ramananda Rai's father, came with four of his sons. And Lord Chaitanya was so happy. How fortunate you are to have an eldest son like Ramananda Rai. He said, you are like Pandu. Your wife is Kunti. And your five children are the five Pandavas. And your family is my family. Bhavananda Rai said, everything of mine is yours, and I'd like to give one of my sons, Vaninath, to be your servant permanently. And Lord Chaitanya accepted. Soon after, Swarup Damodar Goswami arrived. His name in the past was Purushottam Acharya. He was a very close, loving associate of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Navadvip during the Lord's Sankirtan pastimes. But after Lord Chaitanya took sannyas at the young age of only 24 years old, Swarup Damodar or Purushottam Acharya, He went mad in the ecstasy of love and separation. He left Navadvip, he went to Varanasi. He met one Swami named Chaitanyananda. Bharati, and he took sannyas from him. But he took sannyas from him in such a way that he didn't exactly take sannyas from him. It's an interesting story. Sannyas means, in spirit, that one dedicates wholeheartedly body, mind, words, and life for the servants of the Lord. That means nothing is mine. That means I have no distraction, I have no other obligation except the loving service of the Lord. Some of the greatest acharyas and many of the most worshipable associates of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu were grihasthas. They were family people, and others were sannyasis. Bhaktivinod Thakur, in one of his beautiful prayers, he sings, Grihe tako vane tako, Sada hari pole tako, Suke duke bulo nako, Badne hari nam korore, Gai gora madhu sware. This is what Lord Chaitanya was teaching. Whether you are having a family, husband or wife, children, property, occupation, or whether you're a sannyasi living in a forest, these are details. If we wholeheartedly take shelter of the holy name of the Lord and the loving service of the Lord, then we can become free from all the happiness and distress of this material existence. One time when there was a conflict between grihasthas and sannyasis in ISKCON, Srila Prabhupada explained so nicely. Advaita, he is considered the crest jewel, topmost of all Vaishnavas. His wife is Sita Thakurani, and he had 6 children. Shivananda Singh, he had wife, several children. Nityananda Prabhu, Vasudha and Janava, he was married, and Birbhadra and Ganga were his children. Srivas Thakur, his wife was Malini, and he had a beautiful home in Navadvip. Murari Gupta, he also had a home and a wife. So they were all grihasthas. Ramananda Rai was a grihastha. These are some of the topmost associates of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. At the same time, Gadadhar Pandit was a brahmachari and a kshetra sannyasi. Swarup Damodar Goswami was a sannyasi. Haridas Thakur was completely detached from all family affairs. Rupa Goswami, Sanatan Goswami, Raghunath Das Goswami. They were all serving the Lord, knowing Him to be the proprietor of their body, their minds, and everything. And everyone was serving according to how they can make the best difference and how they could give the greatest pleasure to Krishna. Bhaktivinod Thakur, it is his disappearance today. He had 10 children. Bhagavati was his wife. from 1871 to 1876, he lived here in Jagannath Puri. He was the deputy magistrate for the government, and he was also in charge of he was the temple administrator for Jagannath's temple. That means under the government's powers, he had ultimate decision-making factor. Thakur Bhaktivinod, his house was on the Grand Road. It's one of the holiest places on earth, even today. He was such a Vaishnav. He was so fearless, so deeply learned and devotional. At the time when he was young, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement was in such disrepair. There were so many misconceptions, so much scandalous behavior in the name of Lord Chaitanya, so many deviant philosophies, that intelligent people, cultured people, had a very bad image of Lord Chaitanya's movement. At the same time, there were a few of the greatest saints on earth who were living in places like Puri, Navadweep, and Vrindavan. Bhaktivinoda Thakur took it upon himself to do something that was extraordinary. It was revolutionary. Through the literature he was writing, through his speeches and his lectures, through his songs, through his networking with influential people, and especially through his own behavior, he reestablished the supreme greatness of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement and what he had to contribute to the world. And it was his vision that the whole world would understand and appreciate this. Bhaktivinoda Thakur was a genius. He was a scholar of Sanskrit, Bengali, Odia, English. He was so extremely popular by the British rule. The most difficult jobs that nobody else could possibly resolve, the British rule would appoint Bhaktivinoda Thakur. No one else could do it but you. He was such a respected man in every way. And he had carefully, deeply studied and understood all the various different religious systems. And when he came upon the life and teachings of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he was completely surrendered. And he wanted to share that gift to the world, with the world, because he saw that not only the world, not only India, but even Bengal was severely deprived of the truths of Mahaprabhu's gifts. And here in Puri, he was praying. He was praying for Krishna to send one of his intimate, loving associates from the spiritual world to assist in making this knowledge, this grace available to the whole world. In 1874, the month of February, on that holy place on Grand Road in Jagannath Puri, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur was born. When he was 6 months old, approximately, the Ratha Yatra was taking place. You will see the day after tomorrow what is Jagannath's chariot. 16 wheels, 4 ropes. Each rope is over 250 feet long, over 4 inches wide, and literally thousands of people pulling the chariot at any time, and thousands more trying to touch the ropes. Can you imagine thousands of people pulling this chariot, and Jagannath stopped in front of Bhaktivinoda Thakur's house? And all those people were pulling and pulling and pulling, but the wheels would not move for 3 days. Bhaktivinoda Thakur's wife, Bhagavati, took the opportunity. She brought the little baby 6-month-old child, who was named Bimala Prasad. Bimala is one of the consorts of Jagannath in the temple. And when she went to offer him to Jagannath, and the little boy reached out and put his head at Jagannath's feet, and just then a garland fell and encircled the body of the baby, fell from Jagannath's body. And it was right there on the chariot that they gave little Bimala Prasad his first grains in the form of Jagannath's Mahaprasad. And as soon as he came off the chariot, the chariot moved on. When Bhaktivinoda Thakur, when this came to his attention, he understood with full conviction that his prayer was fulfilled. So Swarup Damodar Goswami, he wanted the service of a sannyasi, but he wasn't concerned with the formality. Because sometimes formalities could be an obstacle. On another hand, formalities are sometimes very favorable. But Swarup Damodar Goswami, he essentially had the dress of a brahmachari, but the spirit of a sannyasi. And he was considered the topmost of all Goswamis. He said, I was so mad. He said to Lord Chaitanya, instead of going to Vrindavan with you, or coming to Puri with you, or going to South India with you, I went to Varanasi and became a sannyasi. But now I'm giving my whole life, my soul, my everything to you. And he offered beautiful prayers and offered his prostrated obeisances. Lord Chaitanya lifted up and embraced him. And the love that these two persons had for each other as they both embraced one another, they trembled, they cried, they both fell to the ground unconscious. Swarup Damodar Goswami was one of the greatest of musicians. Because he sang so sweetly, Lord Chaitanya gave him the name Damodar. His actual name, he was a servant of a sannyasi, Chaitanya Nanda Bharati. His name was Swarup, and Lord Chaitanya gave Damodar to that name because of his beautiful singing. He was such a great scholar. Not only was he a scholar, but he understood Lord Chaitanya's mind perfectly. Whatever Lord Chaitanya's particular feelings were in the depths of his heart, Swarup Damodar Goswami would sing a song exactly according to that bhava. There's a beautiful story in Chaitanya Bhagavat where once Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was dancing through the streets of Puri and Swarup Damodar Goswami was singing the sweet songs of Krishna's Vrindavan Leela. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he went into such an ecstasy hearing Swarup Damodar Goswami singing. That he danced and jumped, during his dance, jumped into a massive dry well. Everybody in Puri knew that this well had been totally dry for years and years, and it was extremely deep. When the devotee saw him jump in it, in a trance, they were in great distress. They ran, and came to the well, not knowing what they were going to see, afraid to even look down. When they looked in the well, it was filled to the top with fresh, soft, creamy butter. And Lord Chaitanya was laying on the top of it like this, unconscious. That was the power of Swarup Damodar Goswami's kirtan. Just after Swarup Damodar Goswami arrived, Govinda came. Govinda introduced himself. He was Ishvara Puri, who was Lord Chaitanya's guru's personal servant. And he was with Ishvara Puri until he disappeared from the world. And his guru's last instruction to him was he should become the servant of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was sitting there. And he first asked Lord Chaitanya a question. He said, why did Ishvara Puri assign to be his personal servant a person who was born in a class of Shudras? Because usually great Acharya sannyasis, traditionally, they have Brahmin servants. Why did he choose a Shudra to be a servant? Because Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was very, very traditional. He was the most traditional person on the planet, practically. Lord Chaitanya told him that the Supreme Personality of Godhead and great souls like Ishwarapuri, they are not bound to such external formal traditions. They are concerned with the spirit of devotion. After all, didn't Krishna eagerly go to Vidura's house to eat his meals? Vidura was a Shudra. But Krishna considered him so exalted. It's not, Vaishnavism is not determined by one's caste. It is a Vaishnav is appreciated by his or her character, their devotion, their love. And Govinda is the most exalted loving servant of my Gurudev. But then Lord Chaitanya had a question for Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. He said, how can I accept service from the servant of my guru, the personal servant of my guru? He's my god brother. And he's my god brother in such a select, special role of my guru's life. I should honor him. I should worship him. How can I accept menial service from him? But at the same time, my guru told him to serve me. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu knows everything. He's the source of all knowledge. But this is the relationship with his devotee. He's sincerely inquiring from Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya how to understand this apparent contradiction. In Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, he said that the order of the spiritual master is very powerful. And it has priority over all other detailed considerations. Because your guru has ordered him to serve you, you should allow him to serve you. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu immediately took Govinda and embraced him. Govinda not only served Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, but with the utmost care, respect, and love, he served in every possible way all the devotees. There's a beautiful story that took place in Gambira. Sorry, tonight we have time restrictions. But I'll tell that story later. Lord Chaitanya told Nityananda Prabhu, Damodar Pandit, Jagadananda, and Mukunda, as well as Sarvabhauma, that this boy called Krishnadas that you gave me, he betrayed me during my South Indian pilgrimage. And I had to go through so much trouble to bring him back. There was a tribe called the Bhattataris in Karnataka. And they literally, they were a black tantric group. And they, through evil means, seduced and bewildered Kala Krishnadas to leave the service of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, to join them. Lord Chaitanya woke up in the morning and he saw that Kalkrishna's gone. Where is he? He understood. Now these Bhattataris, they disguise themselves as sannyasis too, in order to cheat people. So Lord Chaitanya was very respectful to them. He said, you are all sannyasis, and I'm also a sannyasi. So you know how I require in my travels an assistant. So why have you taken my assistant? Just give my assistant back. He was very respectful. And the Bhattataris, they were so proud. They picked up weapons. Weapons of death. Knives, swords, axes, and started screaming war cries and ran toward Lord Chaitanya. An entire army of Bhattataris with weapons ran to kill him. Lord Chaitanya looked at them. He was very saddened by their behavior. And he just didn't do anything. He just stood there. He didn't have to do anything. The weapons of the Bhattataris mystically slipped out of their hands and started attacking them. Person who had the sword, it slipped out of his hand and the sword started going tuff, 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 in the air. There was no hands on it. It was just cutting and chopping and stabbing, and the choppers were chopping and the knives were stabbing and cutting and lacing, and the Bhattataris, their limbs were getting cut off, they were suffering like anything. They ran away. They ran the other directions, and the weapons chased after them and kept beating them and stabbing them and cutting them. Meanwhile, Lord Chaitanya grabbed Kal Krishnadas by the hair and pulled him back. And instantly, Kal Krishnadas realized he fell into illusion. And he was extremely remorseful. And again surrendered to the service of the Lord. But Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted to teach so many lessons to any one incident. When they returned to Pune, he never said another thing to Kal Krishnadas about it. When they went to Puri, he didn't even say anything to him. He just said to the other devotees, now this person, he can go anywhere he wants, but he cannot be with me anymore. Kal Krishnadas stood there, heartbroken, crying, tears of anguish. His whole life, his everything was to please the Lord, and the Lord was so displeased with him. Where was he going to go? What was he going to do without serving his beloved Lord? And then Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu walked away. Nityananda and the other devotees, they all discussed with themselves. And they encouraged Kal Krishnadas. And they thought, let's give him a really wonderful devotional service. So they went to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and said, now that you're back from South India, the people of Navadvip and Shantipur, Kulinagram, Srikanda, all these places, they don't know you're back. They're going to be so happy. Can we send one person to them with Jagannath's Mahaprasad and your Mahaprasad? And they can be telling, that person can inform everybody about your arrival? Lord Chaitanya said, do as you like. So they gave Kal Krishnadas that service. He went to the house of Sachi Mata in Navadvip. Can you imagine how she blessed him? That he was the carrier of the good news that Lord Gauranga had returned. Because in those days, There was not a postal service. There was no text messaging, internet, telephones. Lord Chaitanya, for 2 years, nobody heard anything. And most of what we know from Lord Chaitanya's South Indian tour is what Kal Krishnadas explained to everybody. He had such an important historical service for all history. So all the residents of Navadvip, and especially Sachi Devi, what happened to my beloved Nimhai? He's gone. Nobody knows. In Puri, the idea, he goes to Puri, she gets messages about him. But now there's no message. And finally, is he alive? Nobody knows. And of course, you could imagine a mother's heart. Kal Krishnadas was the one to give the news that Nimai is back. And Sachi wanted to know every detail about the South Indian tour. And that's a whole lifetime service, just explaining that. Chaitanya Charitamrita explains, if Ananta Shesha with 1,000 mouths were to speak Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes for the entire span of Brahma's lifetime, he couldn't fully comprehensively explain what Lord Chaitanya did in one day. Hare Krishna. Inconceivable. And he brought Sachimata Mahaprasad from Jagannath, and she was bringing all her friends and all her family, and Vishnupriya was coming and listening to these narrations, and all the devotees were coming, and everybody wanted him to come to their house. He went to Advaita Prabhu's house, and they were having kirtans, and they were celebrating. And when they heard that Lord Chaitanya returned, Advaita said, they all started gathering at Advaita's house for a 3-day festival to celebrate that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had returned to Puri, and they all decided, let us go to Puri. And they were making all the arrangements. Meanwhile, well, I'll get to that. Through the story, we find Lord Chaitanya wanted to teach the world that his devotees are more merciful than him. Now, how is that possible? Because a devotee's mercy can only be the Lord's mercy. Srila Prabhupada explained, when we use the words his divine grace, it's Krishna's divine grace. It's flowing through the parampara, through Srila Prabhupada so perfectly. All Krishna is Karuna Sindhu. He's the vast, unlimited ocean of kindness. And Patita Pavana Hetu Tava Avatara Mosamo Patita Prabhu Napai Beara. Narottamdas Thakur sings, you are Patita Pavana Avatar. You are the, of all incarnations, you are the most merciful, the most forgiving, the most compassionate. And if you look throughout the entire creation, you will find no one more fallen than me. And you've especially come to deliver the most fallen. So please consider my claim to be first. So the Patita Pavana Avatar. But he is manifesting his own mercy most through his devotees. And it is, he wanted to show the heart of a Vaishnav. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, the last line of one of his most famous prayers, explains how the essence of Dharma is to chant the holy names of the Lord and Jivadoya, Namaruchi, to taste the sweetness of Krishna's names, and to feel deep compassion for the fallen souls. And Vaishnav Seva, especially toward the devotees. Paramananda Puri, he came to Navadvip. Sachimata very respectfully and lovingly gave him a place in her house and served him so nicely. And when Kalkrishnadas came, he realized, Lord Chaitanya has come. He's come to Puri and he's asked me to stay there with him. So immediately he left with one associate. And when he arrived, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was so happy. Paramananda Puri said, all the devotees in Navadvip and in Mayapur area, they're all coming, but they were making arrangements for their trip, but I couldn't wait, so I immediately came myself. Lord Chaitanya arranged a room in the house of Kashi Mishra, right close to his, so that they could be together. Paramananda Puri's speciality in devotional service was his total absorption in meditating on Krishna and Krishna's leelas. He was Uddhava at the time of Lord Krishna, Krishna's innermost deep friend. He had a small monastery not far from the Jagannath temple. One time Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu visited there. It is part of the parikrama of Jagannath Puri. Paramananda Puri and Lord Gauranga sat together speaking about Krishna. And then Lord Chaitanya asked Paramananda Puri, you have a well in your monastery. Please tell me, what is the quality of the water in your well? Paramananda Puri said, it's terrible. It's a very unfortunate well. It's full of mud. When Lord Chaitanya heard this, he ran over to the well and he looked. And down there was this filthy water that could be used for nothing. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu raised his arms and with a loud voice, he said, anyone who in any way touches, drinks, or bathes with the water from Paramananda Puri's well is going to be liberated. Lord Jagannath is so miserly that he's making the water so nobody will go near it. And then he cried out, oh Jagannath, oh Jagannath, I ask you for this one benediction. Let the holy river Ganga fill the well of Paramananda Puri with her transparent pure waters. Then Lord Chaitanya left, and all the devotees left, and everyone went to sleep. And in the middle of the night, Mother Ganga, hearing Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's prayer, took it like an order on her head and from underground she filled the water with pristine Ganga Jal. The next morning, when everyone came to Paramananda Puri's house, they saw the well. They called for Lord Chaitanya. Lord Chaitanya came running to the place, and when he saw the well, the water of the well, he immediately started drinking it and bathing it and splashing it on the devotees. And he proclaimed an eternal benediction that anyone who bathes, touches, or drinks the water from Paramananda Puri's well will surely get ecstatic love for Krishna. That is how dear Paramananda Puri is to Krishna. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, my body and my life belong to Paramananda Puri. If he wants to sell me to anyone, anywhere, I am sold. It's also the disappearance day today of Gadadhar Pandit. So I'd like to speak something on this subject regarding Jagannath Puri. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, along with his devotees, celebrated the Snan Yatra, which is Lord Jagannath's appearance day. The day that Jagannath, Baladev, and Subhadra appeared in this Mahabhav Prakash Swarup. Jagannath is bathed with over 100 golden pots of crystal clear water. And according to the Shastra, after his bath, he becomes sick. It is his lila. And there is no darshan. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to Alalanath. But then he was told that his devotees from Bengal were just about to arrive. So he came back to Puri to greet them. When he greeted the devotees, he sent Swarup Damodar and Govinda with garlands and Mahaprasad to honor each devotee. That year, about 200 devotees were coming. They were having beautiful kirtan. They crossed over the Ataranala. They were coming. They all had gathered at Narendra Sarovar. And King Prataparudra, he wanted to know who these devotees were. Gopinathacharya knew them all. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya only knew a few. They went on the rooftop of his palace, and Gopinathacharya was explaining who everyone was. It's a long, beautiful story. He was explaining the qualities of each devotee. And they were garlanding each other. They were embracing each other. They were touching each other's feet. And the whole time they were dancing and chanting the holy names. King Prataparudra He said, I have seen so many thousands of kirtan groups coming to Puri, but I've never seen anything like this. Each devotee is effulgent, shining like hundreds of suns. And their singing is so sweet and so melodious, and their dancing is so full of grace and devotion. Can you tell me something? Why is this kirtan so different than any other? Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya told that this is the special feature, the transcendental contribution of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He has established Prem Sankirtan, the chanting of the holy names in a state of pure, unalloyed love for Krishna. Lord Chaitanya, after greeting all of the devotees, he gave them each a place to stay. Gadadhar Pandit was living in a place near the Yameshwara Tota. It is called Tota Gopinath. It is explained that one day Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was in the ecstasy of Sri Radha's love and separation from Krishna. And he went to that area and he dug in the ground and he found something very special in the ground. It looked like a great treasure. And he called Gadadhar. He said, there's a treasure in the ground. And Gadadhar, you are my constant companion. I want you to have this treasure. So the two of them dug and they found the deity of Gopinath. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu offered Gopinath to Gadadhar, and Gadadhar took vow of Kshetra Sannyas, which means he would never leave Puri, because he would never leave the loving service of his beloved Lord, Sri Gopinathji. From their early childhood, Gadadhar and Lord Chaitanya were so close. Gadadhar Pandit was born in the Chittagong area of Bangladesh to Madhava Mishra, a great devotee Brahmin, in Ratnavali. And when he was young, they moved to Navadweep. From his very birth, he had no inclinations whatsoever for material enjoyment. He was always a devotee of Krishna. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu returned from Gaya and began to exhibit his ecstasies of prema bhakti at the house of Suklambar Brahmachari, Lord Chaitanya was crying out in separation for Krishna. And when Gadadhar Pandit saw this, he was so happy he fell unconscious. And Lord Chaitanya ran over to him and said, Gadadhar Pandit, you are the most fortunate. Your whole life, you never had inclination toward anything material. No possessions, no position, no enjoyment of the senses. Your whole life has always been for Krishna. But myself, I wasted this valuable human life in the pursuit of vain, mundane studies. You are so fortunate, Gadadhar. One time, Lord Chaitanya was crying out in separation, where is Krishna? Where is Krishna? And Sachimata didn't know what to do with her son. And Gadadhar came. And he said, Krishna's in your heart.
please be peaceful.
And Lord Chaitanya, when he heard this, he started ripping open his chest to look to find Krishna in his heart. And Gadadhar held his hands and said, Krishna's coming, Krishna's coming, just be peaceful. When Sachi Devi saw this, she was so impressed. She said, there is no one in all the world who can control my son except you, Gadadhar, because of your love and your friendship. Please always be with my son. And they were constant companions. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu returned from South India, Gadadhar Pandit came with that group of devotees to Puri, and they were practically together day and night. Whenever Lord Chaitanya would go to the homes of different Vaishnavas, almost always he had Gadadhar at his side. Gadadhar Pandit would read from the Srimad Bhagavatam. That was his speciality. Vrindavan Das Thakur said, Paramananda Puri, he captured the Lord through his meditation, Swarup Damodar through his singing, and Gadadhar Pandit through his recitation of the Bhagavat. Every day, for about 3 hours, I'm getting messages. Every day for approximately 3 hours, Lord Chaitanya would go to the Tota Gopinath temple to hear Gadadhar Pandit recite the Srimad Bhagavatam. Vrindavan Das Thakur informs us, when Gadadhar would read the story of Dhruva Maharaj or Prahlad Maharaj, they're long stories. There are many chapters, hundreds and hundreds of verses. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would say, recite it again. He would read the whole story of Prahlad again. When he came to the conclusion, Mahaprabhu would say, read it again. Lord Chaitanya would have him read these stories 100 times before he would go on to the next story in the Srimad Bhagavatam. This is a very deep subject. Radha Bhava Duti Subalitam Nomi Krishna Swarupam. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Krishna with the complexion and the sentiments of Sri Radha. Swarup Damodar Goswami, in one beautiful prayer, he explains that Lord Chaitanya has come to give to the world what the world has never been given before. The understanding, the realization, and the entrance into the conjugal loving pastimes of Krishna and Radha in Vrindavan. And Sri Gadadhar Pandit is the direct, non-different personality of Srimati Radharani. He's the source of the entire Shakti Tattva. And here is Sri Radha with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu discussing Srimad Bhagavatam, and so deeply they are relishing Dhruva and Prahlad. What to speak of the 10th canto? Because ultimately, every single word of the Srimad Bhagavatam is giving us entrance into the eternal pastimes of Krishna of Vrindavan. And how much they are relishing the love, the surrender, and the devotion of their devotees. One day it is explained, Nityananda Prabhu came from Bengal. And he came to Tota Gopinath temple. He brought very special quality rice and some beautiful cloth to offer Gopinath. Gadadhar Pandit was so happy. The story begins when Nityananda Prabhu comes from Bengal and he goes to Jagannath's temple. And when he sees Jagannath, he goes into such ecstasy that 100 grown men could not hold him still. Then he came to Tota Gopinath temple. And he asked Gadadhar Pandit, please prepare this rice and offer this cloth to Gopinath. Gadadhar Pandit, he was so happy. He prepared the rice. He said, this rice is so fragrant. Only Radharani can prepare this kind of rice. Of course, he was Radharani. So he prepared the rice and he went to the Yameshwar Tota and picked some spinach and he got some herbs and he cooked a nice feast. Then wrapped the cloth around Gopinath ji. And after the offering was made, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu entered into the courtyard of Gopinath's temple. And he said, Gadadhar, why have you not invited me? I have come on my own. Nityananda brought the rice. You cooked it. Gopinath has eaten it. How can I resist? And as Lord Chaitanya was eating this prasad, he was glorifying many pages of glorification of each preparation. The fragrance, the sight, the touch, the taste. This is how Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would see prasad. Because it's Krishna's mercy. As we actually make spiritual advancement, we become Krishna conscious, which means we're conscious of Krishna. We're conscious of Krishna everywhere and everything. We're conscious of Krishna in the hearts of his devotees. We're conscious of Krishna in the hearts of every living entity. We're conscious of Krishna in everything that exists, in the sun, in the stars, in the clouds, in the trees, in the earth. We're especially conscious of Krishna in his beloved form of the deity. Krishna says, of purifiers, I am the wind. We're conscious of Krishna and everything that happens. We're conscious of Krishna as being none different than his holy name. We're conscious of Krishna in every word of the Bhagavad Gita, the Srimad Bhagavatam. We're conscious of Krishna when somebody is speaking Hari Katha. And we're conscious of Krishna in his Mahaprasad. It is Krishna's mercy. Krishna's mercy is non-different from Krishna. It is his energy. It is his grace. Lord Chaitanya, when he would glorify prasad, he would glorify its sight, the shape of every grain of rice, the color of every sabji, the fragrance, the touch, the taste. In this way, he was
having a kirtan of glorifying the qualities of the Mahaprasad
along with his devotees at the Tota Gopinath temple. Now we'll have kirtan, because we actually have to end in a few minutes for a special ceremony. Today being Gadadhar Pandit's disappearance day, let us tell one more story about Gadadhar Pandit. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was traveling to Vrindavan, Maharaj Prataparudra was asked by Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya to make arrangements for Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's journey. King Prataparudra, he put his entire king's treasury to supply whatever Lord Chaitanya and his devotees would require. Lord Chaitanya had to cross many rivers. And during his first attempted journey, so many people were coming with him. Hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people were coming with him. King Prataparudra arranged boats for everyone at every river. He arranged kitchens so that Lord Chaitanya and his devotees would have regular meals every morning, afternoon, evening. Feasts. That means, you know, setting up storage rooms, godowns, kitchens, cooks, security. It was his greatest pleasure. When Lord Chaitanya saw Gadadhar Pandit coming, he said, You are not to leave Gopinath. You're Kshetra Sannyasi, which means you vowed to never leave Tota Gopinath. Gadadhar Pandit said that wherever you are, that is Jagannath Puri. Wherever you are, that is where Gopinath is. I'm coming with you. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he said, if you come with me, then who will render the service to Tota Gopinath? Gadadhar Pandit says, by seeing you, I am rendering service millions of times to Tota Gopinath. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, but I will not take the responsibility for making you break your vows. Gadadhar Pandit says, it's not your responsibility. He said, I'm not going with you. I'm going to go separate, and I'm not going to be with you. I'm going to see Mother Sachi in Navadvip. So the group was going along with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu having Nam Sankirtan, and Gadadhar Pandit was off to the side, quietly following along, until they came to Cuttack. And Lord Chaitanya was about to get on a boat to cross river. He called Gadadhar Pandit. He said, you have successfully broken your vow, so your purpose is achieved. But if you come any further, it will make me very, very unhappy. And then his boat went away. Gadadhar Pandit fainted. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya that please take care of him. And Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya chant of the holy names of Lord Gauranga and Gadadhar Pandit came back into consciousness, and Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya said, "You are so fortunate. Actually, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu loves you so dearly. He is suffering separation from you, but for the sake of teaching the world principles, he's bearing that separation." Gadadhar Pandit came back to the Tota Gopinath temple to do his seva. Meanwhile, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went as far as Ramakeli and then Kanai Natashala, and on the suggestion of Sanatana Goswami and Rupa Goswami, Lord Chaitanya decided to come back to Puri and go to Vrindavan another time, just by himself or with one other. So he came all the way back to Puri from Kanai Natashala. And when he came to the outskirts, the devotees came to greet him. And among them was Gadadhar Pandit. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "Krishna would not allow me to go to Vrindavan because I hurt the heart of Gadadhar Pandit." And then he said to Gadadhar, "I am yours, whatever you want to do with me." Gadadhar Pandit, he said, "You are the independent Supreme Lord. You can do anything you like. You please go to Vrindavan another time. But you're asking what you could do for me? Come to Tota Gopinath and let me feed you prasad." So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu returned to Sri Tota Gopinath Mandir to take prasad. This is a very important instruction. If we hurt the heart of a devotee, whoever we are, Krishna is not going to give us entrance into Vrindavan. Srila Prabhupada wrote that you cannot actually go to Vrindavan by buying a train ticket or a plane ticket. It's a state of consciousness. We must enter Vrindavan the way Akrura entered Vrindavan, in a state of deep prayer, love, surrender, gratitude. You could live physically in Vrindavan, but to actually be in the state of consciousness of being in Vrindavan, that is only by the grace of Krishna. It's not by any material arrangement. If we hurt the hearts of the devotees, Krishna will not allow us in Vrindavan. This is Mahaprabhu's statement. The Tota Gopinath deity, it is said at the temple, was originally worshipped by Lord Brahma. He had a vision of Goloka Vrindavan, where he saw Lord Krishna playing on a flute, sitting on a lotus flower, surrounded by the gopis. And Sri Brahma, who recited and composed Brahma Samhita, originally worshipped and installed the deity of Gopinath. According to some, Gopinath was originally standing up. After Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu When he disappeared from this world, he brought his devotees to the Totogopinath temple and had a big kirtan in the courtyard. And as the devotees were chanting and chanting and chanting, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went into the altar and closed the doors. Sometimes he would do that to be with Krishna. But on this particular day, all the devotees, while they were having their kirtan, they felt an immense, overwhelming, unbearable experience of separation. And they feared so deeply that the Lord had left the world. They ran to the doors, they opened them, and Gopinath was playing his flute, and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was never again to be seen in his physical form in this world. In that avatar, he had entered the body of Totogopinath. Gadadhar Pandit remained for about another 11 months. He actually remained because Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted him to bless Srinivasacharya. But during that time, he was so weak in separation from Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that it was very difficult for him to place the garland and the crown on Gopinath's head. So Gopinath sat down, cross-legged, so that Gadadhar could worship him to his heart's content. Jagannath Puri, as Bhakti Purushottam Swami Maharaj has so brilliantly, eloquently, and lovingly discussed this morning, it is that place where the Supreme Personality of Godhead most generously reciprocates with his devotees' love. Jagannath Puri is the place that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu especially worshiped Lord Jagannath through the congregational chanting of the holy names. Every moment we have here is so precious.